This episode, my guest is Francie, who founded an online career coaching platform called Terawatt. We start this interview talking about life transitions. Her and her husband and kids spent 8 years in California and just moved back to the East Coast last summer. Then we get into coaching, leadership, management, and how to guide yourself through a career and find help from others. If you're into leadership, work, management context, it's a good, quick-ish, about 27 or so minutes discussion. All right, let's get going.
Yeah, it's funny how, like, you end up, you know, my husband and I were in California for 8 years.
Okay.
And, but, you know, like, I grew up in Philadelphia and he grew up in Princeton, New Jersey, and we met in New York. Right. And we're like, oh, it'll be like a fun jaunt. We'll just, you know, go for a few years to California. And, like, you know how life goes. Like, we had a kid, then we bought a house, and then she went to school. And, you know, like, you start to live there. That starts to be, like, you know, your community.
Right.
And sure. We just moved back last summer. And so it's interesting because I totally know what you mean. Like, you don't really plan for things to have a whole new life. And then eventually it turns into, like,
no,
you're a Texan or you're a Californian or whatever this
right.
is.
Right. It's crazy, too. And I have when I was in Connecticut, I was at ESPN. That's, like, the longest place I've worked, right?
Yeah.
And I had a kid that, a good friend of mine was, like, from New Hampshire, and he had been in Connecticut for, like, 4 or 5 years doing ESPN stuff, and they offered him, like, an L.A. move to, like, the studio in L.A., and this is probably 2007, and he's like, man, I'll do this for, like, 3 years and come back. Dude still lives in Los Angeles.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, 13 years later, right? As I remember in 2007, he was like, I'll be back by 2010. And it's like, nope, now it's 2020. Dude still lives in, like, downtown Los Angeles, right? And you're like,
yeah.
Okay, it's just weird. It's just, like, weird how it evolves that way. Maybe not
yeah.
even weird. It might be natural, but, yeah. All right, so tell me a little bit about Terawatt and, like, what it kind of does and the value proposition, and then I'll probably have a couple questions off of that.
Yeah, great. Yeah. So Terawatt is a marketplace where we make career development and personal growth more affordable. And so what we do is we connect adults who are looking for career coaching or other kinds of guidance from professionals in the field. And we don't just connect, but we also organize live group virtual classes.
Okay.
So what that means is that, you know, practically it's a lot more affordable because you're splitting the coach's time with other people. And so, you know, just to give you some numbers, you know, I'd say about an average career coach makes about $300 an hour, somewhere between $300 to $700 an hour. They're really well paid. And for the average person, that's really out of reach.
Right.
And on top of it, those coaches, the way they work is they want to have really in-depth relationships with their people they work for. And so you also can't really hire them for an hour. They want a commitment of several months, and so that can be, you know, $10,000 or something. And again, you know, it's like, A, that's a lot of money, but on top of it, it's hard for people to know the value out of it, right? Like, how do you know that this person will be worth $10,000 to your career? And so one of the things that this marketplace helps with is it's also a little bit of like a test run. You know, you get a test drive of whether you mesh with this person in a low cost setting.
Right.
So there could be a scenario where someone says, so just to quickly backtrack, most coaches find their next client through word of mouth. So it also means the same for people, right? A friend of a friend might have used this coach and it worked well for them. But how do you know that that person's situation is exactly your person's, your situation? And so there's always these questions of like trust and verifiability and stuff. And so, you know, we both help to make it affordable for individuals, but also for them to test drive the professionals a little bit.
Right.
And so it makes them more confident that that's someone that they could hire because they know exactly what their expertise area is.
So it starts, it helps like scale the core elements of the relationship without the subsequent financial commitment, basically.
The other one though is, here's the other thing, is that because it's mostly word or through word of mouth by how people find coaches, it means that if you're not in a city, which is where most of the coaches are, something like 62% of coaches live in the biggest 15 cities in America.
Right.
Then you're kind of like out of the network. You know, like what if you work in a smaller town or you work in an exurb or you work in a rural place, and how do you find these coaches? And so part of it too is connecting people from anywhere. So you could be, you know, living in like rural Idaho and hire a great coach in Florida.
Right. Yes. So it's like the power of connective technology in that coaching sphere, which we're seeing in other places because of COVID and everything. And then it's also kind of interesting because I don't know if this will bear itself out in terms of like access to resources, but you see a lot of articles and thought pieces and stuff saying, oh, like people will leave urban areas because they're scared of like being on top of each other because there will eventually be other pandemics or health outbreaks, right? And I've seen like some like entry level numbers on that. I still think a lot of younger people will kind of stay in cities just because of like the resources and like the atmosphere of them. But
yeah,
I could see like a quote unquote rural renaissance whereby then you have stuff like coaching, which is like you said, 62%. I'm surprised it's not higher. I think it would be like, yeah, if you move to like the outskirts of Topeka because you want more land or whatever, but you still want access to like a quality coach in Seattle, it's like we do need like ways to enable that don't just involve air travel, you know? So
And there's really so many applications for this kind of like long term, but immediately, yeah, I mean, actually, another example that I keep thinking about is I keep reading these articles. It's so interesting to me about, you know, with coronavirus, everyone's working from home. Fine. Right. And then some companies are saying, okay, like so let's just say Facebook, for example, no one's or Google, you're not coming in the office till like January 2021.
Right.
And people are like, oh, well, if that's the case, like, what about I move to Illinois?
Yeah.
And then they're saying, yeah, that's fine. Go do that. So that's like a whole other thing going on. If you have people being paid Facebook and Google salaries living in other parts of the country, the world, I mean, you really do need more access to things that have traditionally been in urban centers.
Yeah. My concern with it is that I think, and you've seen it like a little bit in Facebook comments on it, not as much in Google, but my concern with it is like, I think people will do that, but I think the companies are probably going to use it as a chance to reduce base salary, would be my fear.
Well, that would make a ton of sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you don't, the justification, if you have like a revenue facing role, then probably not. But like if it's just like an important business role, but maybe not directly tied to revenue, I don't think they're going to pay a San Francisco salary to live in like St. Louis. You know, I just feel like they would probably reduce the base. But I do agree that it's like you're going to move You probably are going to move, like, aspirational professionals away from, like, the five major urban economic hubs of the U.S., so there's an application there for sure.
You make a good point. I'll be really curious to see what happens with all those people. It's a great point. I mean, I think you're right, because San Francisco, because they wanted everyone to be in San Francisco, that's where I was, right? It's so expensive. And, you had to spend a lot to live there. And I think the salaries kept going up because of the cost of rent and stuff. And so you make a good point. Like, if you're not competing with the rent as a gating factor for recruiting people, your salaries would be different. Yeah.
And what, I don't think you would want, I don't think you would justify paying them as much. But then, like, okay, the other interesting thing is Facebook's in this too. And you look at, like, Capital One and a couple tech companies, they basically tell their, like, highest performers, typically in sales functions, but, like, some other silos. If you look at some of their, like, internal stuff that's been released or media has gotten a hold of, they basically tell their highest performers, like, hey, you never have to come back if you don't want to. And I think that's actually funny, too, because it's like, it's basically like, okay, they realize that it might be weird or different, or it might take another 12 to 18 months for full, like, health considerations. And they're like, I can't sacrifice, like, my best salesperson, you know? So they're like, you don't ever have to come back if you don't want to, which I think is funny.
Well, it's also interesting because there's this whole thing, right, which is like, everyone's starting to realize, I think in HR land, there's like a difference between being good at your job and being a good manager.
Yes, 100%.
And so it's kind of like, it makes me think that maybe they've also started to recognize that, listen, like, this person's great as a salesperson. There's no need to make them a manager to promote them. Just give them a lot more flexibility and let them do their thing. Which I think is very evolved thinking as well, you know, so it's very interesting.
Okay, so I worked at McKesson it was a 16-week project, like 7 or 8 summers ago, right? And McKesson, I forget all the bands, salary bands, but like, I think 122 was the band for like CEO level, like C-suite level. But like, once you cleared 114, you had like deep investment in terms of like stock and stuff, and like your bonus potential was much higher. So like the jump from band like 113 to 114 is like a big one, because basically if a shitty person jumps to 114, they're never gonna leave. Like, you can fire them, but the incentives are gonna be too high. They're never gonna leave voluntarily, right? So the problem is, almost every job at band 114 was managerial. So I was on this like task force about it, and it's like a bunch of committee meetings, and it kind of didn't accomplish that much. But in one meeting, I was like, I think there need to be parallel tracks where if you're a good employee, but you clearly don't really have people skills, or your coworkers don't kind of like respect you or want to get a drink with you or whatever, like, we shouldn't be making those people into managers, right? It was the only place they could go, because all these executives were like, well, I don't want to pay somebody more if they don't have direct reports. And it's like, but some of these people don't deserve direct reports, right? You can keep them, but like, find a way for them to work independently and make similar compensation. Because giving a guy that shouldn't be a manager like 8 subordinates is a horrible decision. Because then all eight of those people are like, oh, my job sucks now, right?
Yeah.
Because I have this terrible manager. So, one thing I was going to ask you, because it's tied to your platform, is because I debate this with like friends of mine sometimes. And randomly, like a few years ago, I got into a discussion at a wedding about this topic. But like, do you think that there's a
When people seek like a career coach, do you think that it's like a failure of management? Because like, shouldn't, if you have a job, like, shouldn't a role of your boss be to like help you with your career? But then the other argument is like, people are like, your career is your own thing. It's your accountability. Like, yeah, you have to figure it out. So I've always felt like people looking for career coaches is like an indictment of conventional management. Like, oh, these people that are my boss in my current job are not helping me at all. They're not shepherding me or whatever. So do you, what's your general like thought process on that?
Yeah, I think that's I think it's a great question. I'll tell you, I think it's a little bit of both, because I see two scenarios when you're speaking. I think yes, only recently have I think most companies started to realize that there is a return on investment for investing in your employees' career development. And I think not everyone does it. I know when I was sort of a young worker, it was much more the sense of like, you need to learn this, and like, it's not my responsibility. That was like the company sort of vibe. And now there's a lot more research about how important it is to support the career trajectory of your employees and how it helps with retaining and recruiting, and even like crazy things like profitability, revenue, I mean, everything, innovation. So there's more people kind of getting on board there. Well, actually, there's three things. And my second thing is that there's a lot of research showing that not many companies support or train people in how to be a manager.
Yep, 100%.
They just assume because you're good at your job that you can teach other people how to be good at it.
Right.
That's a leap.
Yeah, 100%. If you want a good stat on that that you can use for presentations or whatever, the average, and this is across six industries, and I forget the exact industries, but it's like healthcare, finance, energy, or something. The average promotion to like your first managerial role is 31, and the average first training on anything related to people management is 42. For companies that supposedly you would be a manager for 11 years. Like, if you had a kid on the same day that you became a manager, they would probably be in fifth grade before you got training on how to be a manager. So that's like, I see stuff like that all the time, and I'm like, oh god. This is problematic. And then we wonder why like engagement scores don't go up that much.
I don't know the number off the top of my head, but there is a statistic about something like crazy, like 40% of people that leave their job leave because of their manager.
Oh, yeah, I think it's probably higher than that.
Yeah, and then the other like group is like people who aren't supported in career trajectory. So the other thing I would just say about career coaches is I think so there's a lot of that going on where I think companies are sort of struggling to figure out like what they should do to support people and grow them, that whole thing. Because I think like the debate within the heads of these companies is, well, yeah, I understand that would like employees would like that, but what happens if they leave after I and so but then the research really shows that actually it's the opposite. I mean, the more you spend of your employees, the more they stay, because people don't really leave for money reasons. They leave for psychological reasons. But then the last thing I would just say is I think career coaching is also really valuable if you happen to find yourself in the wrong career.
Yes.
Or in the wrong area, right? Like you're doing something and you're somewhat successful, so you kind of think, well, what's wrong with this? But you're miserable, right? And I think that's a really tough, I mean, I'm sure there's some managers who can talk to people through that or help them redirect if you're at a really huge company. But for a lot of companies, you're supposed to just do your job and like not give them a hard time about how you're miserable with your life plan. You know?
No, it's very heads down. And like in most companies, they prioritize like task work and like deliverable stuff over like conversation.
conversation or discussion or like bigger picture about, you know, where you're at. Like, you're almost like a cog in the wheel, especially at big companies, right? Like people don't, I agree 100%. Like people don't want to hear you talk about like your life plan. They just want to know that you got certain stuff done. So what, like, you said a couple of examples of this, but like, what if you find like a valuable career coach that you think you click with and all that, like what do you think some of the big, like the big obvious value props or advantages for someone that finds a person they click with, like what do you think it could do to someone's career, like how much could it
empower? I think hyperbolic, because I think one of the things, and maybe this is sort of like my generation or me, but I think one of the things that I've sort of learned in the past 2 years is the more kind of like authentic you are and the more comfortable you feel, the better you can contribute.
Yes, and I agree with that.
I think that like any person who feels like you just said, like it's a task-driven role, you're not supposed to, you know, raise your hand and say, I'm concerned about this or whatever, but that's what makes companies better, right? Is when people think through the problems. And I think the more confidence you have that, listen, like, if I speak up and they don't like it, then, like, it's a loss for them. And the more confidence you have about what you have to give, and I think that's what's so valuable, because I think there's always a sense when you work somewhere, like, you know, because you're an at-will employee, you could be fired at any moment. But, like, if you have great skills, you can always find another job. But there's a sense of, like, I need to hold on to this.
Right.
Whereas I think coaches can help you realize, like, you don't need to hold on to something that's not working for you.
Right.
You know? Like, and you got to find something that makes you excited. You know? And I think the thing that, like, it's hard for me to quantify. That's a really good question. I really should find quantifiable data on this. But I think what's just great about it is really just giving, it's a trained person helping someone who's a little bit in the woods find a path. And I think that, like, if you think about it, of course your family and friends want you to be happy, but they're not trained to help you think through plans and the readings and this and that. And I think it's really like a guide. It's like a life guide.
Right.
And, I think it can be amazing. And I think a lot about a tie decision that people put out about the most, you know, productive team at Google, and they were trying to figure out, like, what is it? Like, what is the thing that that makes the best team? And it's really just psychological safety.
Yep.
And it's people feeling like they can say, I'm worried about this, or this is a concern I have, or I don't get it, or whatever. And that's so much. I think that's really what makes someone good at your job. Like, just you feel like you're just you, and you're just, you know, firing in all cylinders. Like, who doesn't want to be productive and good and everything like that?
Right. It's got Project Aristotle. That's what that was called. I've written about that so many times, and I agree. And it's amazing to me sometimes, like, you have jobs and everybody logically knows that that's what a person would want out of a job or a team that they have to collaborate with, but managers so infrequently provide the notion of psychological safety, you know? Okay, the last thing I was going to ask you then is, like, what kind of stuff do you want to do with the platform coming up in terms of, like, kind of like scaling the concept or idea of it or helping connect more people? Like, what are some things that you have thought about in terms of the horizon line?
Yeah, good question. Well, I mean, in one way, I kind of feel like, if you want to hear my crazy, like, what it could be, right? You know,
right.
Well, certainly, just I wanted to be kind of like Etsy, right? Where you can come on there and there are like all sorts of coaches talking about, you know, speaking in public.
Right.
And you're like, oh, this coach really speaks to me. It's exactly what I'm looking for. And so Or maybe you just take all the different coaches who offer classes on that, you know, and I think the choice is really great and helping people just like be better. I think like I guess because as a founder, like I probably thought about this company more than, you know, my probably child. I think like one thing you could almost be is like, it would be so neat if it becomes like almost like a platform to share your knowledge about something. And it may not be that you're a career coach, but maybe like you're, I always use this example, like you're this like great like cook and you're like a grandmother and, you know, you cook like Jamaican jerk chicken and this is a family recipe that everyone asks you for. Like, I think it'd be really cool if you could teach other people that. And so I think mostly it's about coaching career development, but I think like long-term, like I love this idea of like both enabling people to be better, like learn through learning, but also be better and like, you know, sort of monetize their knowledge in virtually. So I don't know. I mean, that's the sort of crazy side of it, but we're doing a lot with helping coaches with the technology of Zoom and right. with the live streaming. You know, one of the things we're looking into is almost like right now what it is it's kind of like we kind of bring you a class and as a coach and you, you know, conduct your Zoom class with your own content. That's sort of how it works. But one sort of feature we're thinking of doing is almost like a professionally produced session where you've got like someone in the background and they're editing it almost live in real time. And it takes a lot and you can like preload things and it takes a lot of stuff off your plate as like the host. And that to me is one of the real shortcomings of these Zoom platforms is that like, it's so hard to do both, like both the teaching and the sort of technology sort of manipulation and polling and whatever, chatting with people. And so that's kind of on the horizon. And we're thinking of doing like a series of conversations with coaches just to like educate people about like what coaching is. And it would be on our website and also on YouTube. I think those are like the main kind of main things we're working on.